Jarvis Cocker is here today. He is best known for Pulp's anthemic hit song Common People and for interrupting a Michael Jackson award show performance in protest. He's been keeping a low profile since Pulp disbanded, living in Paris, raising a child, and appearing under the name Darren Spooner with the band Relaxed Muscle, also writing music for Nancy Sinatra and Charlotte Gainsbourg. Jarvis is his first solo album, and I ask him why now was the right time.
Well, the thing was that when I got married and I moved to Paris, and I did kind of think that maybe I would stop making music. I suppose I realised that I probably wouldn't, you know, stop it altogether, but I kind of thought that I would stop performing because I just thought, well, you know, you are now middle-aged, and so it's unbecoming for a man of your years to be prancing about on a stage and stuff like that. So I kind of thought I would keep it at a safe distance and maybe write songs for other people and all that kind of thing. And I actually started off that. I wrote some songs for Nancy Sinatra. But the thing was that once I'd written them and was quite pleased with them, then I kind of realised that I kind of wanted to play them myself. And also there was this kind of thing, I think, you know, the kind of thing that your brain does sometimes. When you decide that you're going to do something and be sensible and be a grown-up person, then the other side of your brain, the subconscious bit, just kind of says, oh, no, you don't, and trips you up. And so as soon as I'd said that I was going to be all Mr. Mature and all this business, then I started getting lots of ideas for songs. And I suppose I kind of realised that that was the thing that I was naturally drawn to. You know, I was thinking, oh, well, I studied filmmaking, so maybe I should do that. You know, that's a more sensible thing to do. But I found that whenever I had a spare moment, I would kind of think of an idea for a song. You know, I wouldn't be thinking about fantastic opening shots for movies or, well, wouldn't this be a great kind of, let's track in and then let's focus on so-and-so. I would just be kind of thinking of a tune or some lyrics. So I kind of realised that after 25 years of being in a group, man and boy, gave rock and roll the best years of my life, that I still wanted to do it, which was kind of a pleasant surprise, I suppose. And sorry, that was a very long-winded answer, wasn't it?
It was. But what period of time did all that take place? Because you actually, some of these songs have been, you mentioned writing for Nancy Sinatra, Don't Let Him Waste Your Time, was one of those songs. And so these have been brewing for a while.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, it's been in its gestation period has kind of been all the time that I've been in France, which is about 4 years. Moved there 4 years ago. And, you know, as I could say, ideas kept coming. And then I kind of came round to the idea that I was going to make a record. And then I just waited until I had enough songs that I thought were fit for human consumption, you know. Because, you know, I didn't have a record deal. There was nobody kind of ringing me up saying, come on, where's the single and all this kind of rubbish. So, in a way, it was quite good. You know, the songs just kind of came at their own rate, really, which, when it's me, might at their own rate means at a slow rate.
Well, let's hear the sort of the stage play version of the Cinerama album. If you wanted to do some live, what would you like to start out with?
Yeah, well, let's do... Do Heavy Weather. This morning it was summer. By noon a cold front building. Where did you go? Where did you go? I've got to find some shelter. Cause any minute now, it's gonna blow. It's gonna blow. But I don't mind the rain, so strike me once again. I got nothing to lose. And it looks like we're in stormy weather, with death and destruction coming through. Oh, look out, there she blows. Now everybody knows. Stormy weather always makes me think of you. And watch out, 'cause the storm is coming through. But you're so still and silent, whilst everything's dissolving, melting away, melting away. But I don't mind the rain, so strike me once again. I got nothing to lose. Oh, and it looks like we're in for stormy weather, with death and destruction coming through. Oh, look out, there she blows. Now everybody knows. Stormy weather always makes me think of you. Oh, and it looks like we're in for stormy weather, with death and destruction coming through. Yeah, look out, there she blows. Now everybody knows. The stormy weather always makes me think of you. And watch out, 'cause the storm is coming through. Yeah, watch out, 'cause the storm is coming through.
Jarvis Cocker's playing live today on the World Cafe, and that is Heavy Weather, another one from Jarvis, the new solo album in the first in a while. And Jarvis, I'm sitting here listening to that song, which I absolutely love, and I was actually running this morning playing air drums to it, which really must have looked rather odd if anybody saw me on the street. But when you have such an encyclopedic knowledge of pop music, I've seen it displayed on some British quiz shows and stuff. When you write something, do you do what you know people do all the time? Oh, I can't do that. It sounds like this. Are you referential to other songs as you're writing? Does it help you keep unique?
It depends with that. Like if it sounds like something stupid, then it's okay. it depends who you reference. If you suddenly realise that you've nicked a bit of tune from Foreigner,
right,
for instance, I'd be kind of worried. But then if you've nicked it from Aha, then I think that's okay, because you're kind of recycling then. Although with that song that we just played, somebody tried to put me off it because they said the bit that goes, "Watch out, 'cause the storm is coming through." They said that's like a Bob Dylan song, which I suppose it is, because you can go, "And it's all over now, baby blue." But please don't sue me, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you were warming up on a song I love called "I Will Kill Again,"
cheery number,
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, and I suppose this character could live anywhere. I can see him here in the U.S. quite easily as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, that song, well, we'll play it for you in a minute, but that song, it's kind of, well, a lot of my songs are in bad taste, I suppose, but that one, because the saying "I will kill again" comes from this guy called Peter Sutcliffe, who was known as the Yorkshire Ripper, who killed a lot of people in the like late 70s. And but there was this weird thing that happened where somebody, this kind of hoaxer, sent a cassette tape to the police claiming to be the Yorkshire Ripper, and said, I can't do a Geordie accent, but "I see you are no closer to catching me, George. I will kill again." That sounds more like South African, doesn't it, or something? Welsh. Anyway, I shouldn't be laughing about it because it's a serious subject. But what happened with this tape? It was played very widely on British TV and radio, you know, obviously because they were hoping somebody would recognise the voice and they would be able to arrest the guy. But it was a complete hoax, and it sent the police investigation off on a wrong track and kind of messed the whole thing up quite badly. And the guy who did the hoax thing was recently caught and put in prison. But the point of why, because this thing was played so widely, and I was a kid of about, I don't know, 13 or 14 at the time, it became kind of like a catchphrase. Like, so in a way of like, you know, if you, for instance, you know, like we played a concert last night and I'm slightly hungover. And so you could just throw in the towel and say, right, I'm just going to stay quiet. But then if you decided you were going to go out and do it all again tonight, you might use the phrase, yes, I will kill again. Like, it's saying, yeah, I'm not beaten yet. Which, to take a catchphrase from something to do with a serial killer, I guess isn't tasteful. But sorry.
Okay. Well, the song,
I guess that's kind of a Yorkshire sense of humour.
Yeah, but the song actually seems to extend even, you know, beyond that too. So, do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that in a bit? Or
yeah, we may as well, since we've built it up so much.
Absolutely.
Build yourself a castle, keep your family safe from harm. Get into classical music, raise rabbits on a farm. Log on in the night time, drink a half bottle of wine. Buy a couple of records, look at naked girls from time to time. And people tell me what a real nice guy you are. So come on, serenade me on your acoustic guitar. And don't believe me if I claim to be your friend, 'cause given half the chance, I know that I will kill again. I will kill again. And wouldn't it be nice for all the world to live in peace, and no one gets ill or ever dies, or dies of boredom at the very least. And people tell me what a real nice guy you are. So come on, serenade me on your acoustic guitar. And don't believe me if I claim to be your friend, 'cause given half the chance, I know that I will kill again. I will kill again. I will kill again. I will kill again.
again.
Jarvis Cocker is playing live on the World Cafe today, and that's I Will Kill Again, another one from the Jarvis solo disc, which is just out here in the States. And accompanying the solo disc, Jarvis has been a fair amount of publicity, and somebody sent around an email with a clip to a BBC documentary all about one song, all about Common People, which I thought was just pretty amazing in and of itself. And during that thing, they you can also get a chance to see the performance of Common People when Paul played at Glastonbury, which is a very famous moment. And you talk in the documentary about singing that on stage that night, and you say it's an experience that you'll never have anything like that again. And which kind of made me think about celebrity and all that. That must be incredibly kind of addictive to have that kind of experience in your life.
I suppose so, but you know, and I guess that's why people kind of get screwed up, because you have an experience like that, and maybe, you know, it lasts for 45 minutes tops, and then you've got the memory of it, and to kind of you want to kind of get back to that place and recreate it, but it's pretty difficult. You know, I think things, it's not that things happen accidentally, but that particular moment for Pulp was, you know, Pulp had existed for already at that point over 10 years, and there was stuff happening in British society, and just, you know, by kind of a stroke of luck or whatever, we just happened to kind of come up with a song that chimed in with the mood of what was happening. And that kind of thing, there's so many factors. To make it happen again would be pretty difficult, and especially if you try, because as soon as you start trying, then you screw everything up. She said, I want to live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. What else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand, and she just smiled and held my hand. I went to flat trip over the shop. I cut your hair and get a job. I smoked some facts and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. Still you never get it right. It's when you're
in terms of celebrity, you seem to have been in a really, you know, great position. You sort of people have described you as the Alan Bennett of music, and that's sort of a British reference people might not get here. He was the guy from Beyond the Fringe, who's just a great sort of social commentator. And you get an opportunity to go on television and do that and newspapers. One of the things I read that you did was this roundtable of the Observer about whether music still matters. And I'm kind of glad you addressed that because music is so ubiquitous, so easy to get, today, that it's kind of lost its punch. What did your roundtable come down on that?
We didn't really get any hard kind of decisions or even decide what we thought about it. But I just thought it was something that had been on my mind, and I just wanted to discuss it. Because it is that kind of contradiction that, like you say, you know, music is easy to get hold of, and it's like you buy a mobile phone and, they probably get given 50 free songs with it or something. But in some ways, the fact that it is everywhere kind of... and the fact that you can carry around 10,000 songs, you know, on an iPod or something, maybe it doesn't seem as precious because... You don't have to make so much effort for it, but then that's kind of weird to think in that way. Mm. But I think that's the thing, that you don't want something that really means something to you to lose its flavour. Do you know what I mean? You don't want it to be relegated to the status of wallpaper, because people do that a lot, don't they? It's kind of handy, you know, that if somebody comes around to your house, in the olden days, you had to kind of like put a record on, and then you'd be talking to them, and then the record would finish, and then you'd put another one, and da da da. Now, of course, now you can have a dinner party, shove your iPod on shuffle. You don't have to worry about it, you know. But in a way, I don't know, it's like you're not as involved with it in some way.
Jarvis Cocker is our guest, and we're hearing some of the songs from this album live. And what's next?
Well, we could do. We'll do a song called Disney Time. How come the cold adult movies, when the only thing they show is people making babies filmed up close? Feeling so much better since I learned to avert my eyes. Now it's Disney time. Not in front of the children, fill their heads with dreams. I know to be like Bambi's mother and die off screen. So you can tell your children that everything's gonna be just fine here in Disney time. Christmas, they granted us a view of a world so much better than the one we knew. Everyone can share the magic for 30 minutes at a time. Oh, here in Disney time. Oh, here in Disney time. Disney time. Oh, here in Disney time.
It's Disney time, another one from Jarvis. Jarvis Cocker is playing live today on the cafe. And I was going to ask some kind of a question about if, you know, having a child has changed your point of view in any way. I could see it fitting into that, maybe in some way, that song.
Yeah, I know. Well, that song kind of came from strange. Well, from watching Dumbo, basically. Just slightly strange. Well, I never really saw those Disney cartoons when I was a kid because they didn't have them on the terrestrial TV channels in England. So kind of when I watched it with my son, it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And of course, as probably a lot of people would tell you, one thing about having kids is suddenly you develop a sentimental streak, which kind of horrified me when I first became aware of it. Like, you know, before I could watch the news and see starving people and starving kids and all that, and it wouldn't really make any impact on me. And then as soon as you've had a kid, suddenly it's like you kind of become this kind of a blubbering wreck. And that happened to me in Dumbo, like the bit where his mother gets kind of locked up in the kind of railway car, and they put a sign on the side saying "Mad Elephant."
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's this song called "Baby of Mine" or "Baby Mine" or something.
Baby Mine, yeah.
Very, very, very sentimental, and you know, with all that kind of 40s kind of orchestration and the kind of choral thing, and then it just I was in bits for about, you know, 20 minutes after, and so it kind of got me thinking about that because you know, there's that kind of weird thing that you know that you're being manipulated and that it's a sentimental twaddle or whatever, but those I think those early Disney cartoons, before they'd kind of got the formula all worked out, they have got there's no denying that they've got a power to them.
Absolutely. Jarvis, thanks a lot for being here today. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having us.
Jarvis Cocker, our guest, and we'll return in a moment here on the World Cafe.